We'll be reading today from the book of Isaiah chapter 40, if you want to turn there in your Bible. And I know it's a Christmas season, and I don't know if exactly what day Jesus was born. It probably wasn't December the 25th, and that's what we celebrate. But anyway, we just know that God came to us through His Son, this God, great God that we serve. He was willing to come where we are, to live where we are, provide redemption for us, and to send His Holy Spirit to inhabit us. Praise the Lord. Let's know Scripture together there. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll begin at verse 12. The questions are asked here. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has taught Him? With whom did He take counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing and are counted by Him less than nothing and worthless. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to Him? Here He talks about idolatry of making an image. Verse 19, the workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman and prepare a carved image that will not totter. Let's move down to verse 25. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created all these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and by the strength of His power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Father, I praise You for Your word today, and I pray, Lord, You'd anoint the ministry of Your word, and I pray, God, You'd touch our hearts. Help us to receive the instruction that we need today, God, in Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This great God came to us, and it's amazing how that God could become a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How that He took on humanity. And how could the God that spoke universes and stars into place and space, how could He come and be limited to a human body? I don't know, but I just know He did. And such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And so He came into humanity. He came into a cursed world full of sin. Think about the world that Jesus entered into. And when He came in His humanity, when He was born of the Virgin Mary, and then He grew up and went through all the changes of life that the physical body goes through, and yet He came and He didn't resist His Father's will, but He came to complete the plan of redemption, though you and I might be saved. So the great God came to us. I just reread the story that I've read many times, and that is of the cross and the switchblade. got a condensed copy, and how that Dave Wilkerson was called in New York City when it was overrun with street gangs. And God saved some of the most violent criminals in those gangs because God, the great God, came down to them. Man, powerful work of God there. But this great God came to all of us. Amen. And let's look first of all at who is this God who came to us. Verse 12, the question is asked here that, of course, the answer is God, who has measured the water in the hollow of his hands and measured out heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Only God could do that. You think of a mountain and a hill, you think of all the vast acres of land that it was, but God made it all. Then he asks the question, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor hath taught him? Amen. Have you ever been here, heard anybody foolish to say, I'm going to teach God something? Yeah, right. Amen. You know, we don't tell God what to do. God tells us what to do. And I'm glad he does. Because if we told God to do, then no telling what all would take place. Bad things. But I'm glad that God instructs us. And God measures all things. And we are measured, he measures our righteousness by his. And we're a little off. We all fall short of a perfect measurement. And I know to build a house, and I'm not experienced yet, I've built one. But if you don't have a level and a square, you're not going to do very good. This is a level. Now this pulpit here is pretty level. Maybe just a hair of a bubble off. Man, you're wondering if I built a pulpit? No, I didn't. But you see, God is not off anywhere. He's made everything level in the sense of spiritual sense. And the ground at the cross is level because it's there for everybody. God made no mistakes. He measured all things. Who could possibly measure these things that are mentioned here? Who gave God anything? Who taught God anything? You see, we have finite knowledge. That means we have limited knowledge. God has infinite knowledge. God knows all things and knows why all things happen before they happen. And you say, well, I don't want anybody to know me that well. You, my friend, just have to get over it. God does know you that well. He knows me that well. He knows everybody that well. He's infinite in his knowledge. He's unlimited forever. You know, politicians may pretend to know it all, but after they're in office for 3 days, you know they don't. But God has infinite knowledge, yet this perfect God came to us. Undeserving, but yet God came to us. Because God loves us with a love that's far beyond any human explanation of love. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. God loves you. Amen. Praise God. And so his knowledge is infinite. He knows us. He knows our need. He shows shows us our greatest need is him. Our greatest need is not a better president. That would help. But not going to go there. But our greatest need is not a better leader. Our greatest need is God. Our greatest need is not some material thing that will help life be better, and God gives us material things to help us, and God gives us cars and houses to live in, the things and necessities of life, food and clothing and drink, and God is faithful to do that, and we need to thank him for it every day. But God, man's greatest need, he needs God. I need God. Amen. Amen. If you're a parent, you need God to raise children. If you're a grandparent, you need God to help grandchildren. Amen. If you're wherever you're at, you need God. And he's your greatest need. The truth is, and the good news is, he will have us. And he can be our God. And this great God came to us. He didn't have to, but he did. And you look at the world, and it's a shape, a globe, amen. And so, God was on a global mission. Politics laid aside when He created the earth suitable to inhabit humanity. Amen. I was studying one day, you wonder why, but I was studying the South Pole. It's about as far south as you can get. There's even a church down there. I forget what kind it was, probably Southern Baptist. But God made all these things, you know. At the bottom of the South Pole, you could stand just like this, you'd be standing upright. Because God made the earth perfect. But yet God is more personal. He comes to us. He knows our need before we need it. Amen. And whatever you face in life and the future, God has already been there. And whatever you're going to face in life, He will be there when you get there. Amen. He has been through suffering. He's been through pain in His humanity. He's been through loss. He's been through loneliness. He's been through sorrow. Has God ever had sorrow? Has He ever had loneliness? Let me tell you something, friend. On the cross, He had to cry out one day, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not that God had forsaken Him. It's just that there had never been, God the Father had never had to look upon sin, especially in His Son. And Jesus bore all of our sins. God knows where you're at. He knows what you've been through. God understands better than you understand. And so many people have been through many things. Praise the Lord. And Jesus came to set people free. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus rises to the synagogue that day and finds the place in Luke. Isaiah, I believe. And he quotes it there in Luke 4, 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Are there brokenhearted people today? Yes. There's people that are going through divorce. There's people that are going through grief because a loved one has passed away. Someone is close to them. There are people today that have lost their jobs and they don't know where to go. And there's people that need God and need help and they don't know how to help themselves. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. And we have many people in our society today that are addicted to many, many different things. But I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't come to keep people addicted. Jesus came to set people free. And He is free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's Christ. Praise the Lord. And so God knows all of the emotions of humanity. God just doesn't understand me emotionally. Yes, He does. He understands you better than you know, understand yourself. And whatever you're going through this morning, God has walked thousands of people through the same things. And He will walk with you. Amen. This God came to us. Amen. Let's move on. Secondly, who can be compared to our God? Verse 15 may not make you feel very good. "Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles of the islands as a very little thing." That just doesn't say that God doesn't care about the nations. It just says that there's nothing that surprises God about all nations. They're like dust in comparison to all the things He created. Amen. And the nations are just like the dust on the scales. I mean, ladies, when you go to dust your house, if you do, that's what the earth is. It's no bigger than that to God. It's not that God doesn't care. He does. He very much cares. But the nations, you know, who can be compared to God? Nobody. Amen. Yet He loves people whom He created. And we're blessed because He loves us. Amen. Because God didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to send His Son to the cross. He didn't have to have Him resurrected from the dead. God doesn't have to put up with anybody. He told Moses one time, because Moses was whining and complaining about stuff, and God said, "I'll just destroy this whole nation. I'll make a whole new nation out of you." And Moses interceded. God said, and he said, no. Then the Egyptians will say, you know, look what God's done to them. No, he prayed to protect God's sovereignty. And yet God allowed this to happen. Amen. And so, people worship things. People worship sports, sports stars. And sports stars are compared to one another. Man. But you know, astronomers tell us that stars, many of them, are nothing more than burning gases. How you like to tell that to Hollywood? That's what stars are. As a matter of fact, the closest star is 4 light years away from the Earth. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. How fast, how far could light travel in a year at 186,000 miles per second? It's a long way to the closest star. Man. And so I think that's further than Hollywood. And all things in Hollywood, I don't think God made those stars. But it's like dust in comparison to all He created. God is not challenged. He's not worried about the nations, yet He loves people whom He created. And even though we're just dust, just a speck in God's creation, yet God cares and loves for each one of us personally. He cares what you're going through. He cares about your emotions. He cares about your feelings. He cares about what you're going to do, where you're going, what you're going to be. God cares. God knows. God is concerned. And God has not left you to take care of some bigger thing. He cares for you personally. And that's what happens when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, because He's a personal God. And He proved that by coming to us, this great God. But idolatry was Israel's biggest problem in the Old Testament. We find there that breaking the first two commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. The first two commandments was two commandments that Israel had the most problems with breaking. So that was them. No, it's us today. There's many things that people worship put in the place of God. And the foolishness of idolatry is seen in verses 19 and 20 here. The workman molds an image. Now this is man-made. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver-changed chains. Whoever's too impoverished for such a contribution. In other words, if a person didn't have, trying to make a god, and they don't have any silver and gold, he chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. It is such a idolatrous thing that it can't stand on its own. It totters. Let me bring a little more light to this idol thing, how foolish it is. Psalms chapter 115, verse 3, but God in heaven is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Notice how idols are described here. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. These idols, they have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. They have feet, but they do not walk. My friend, nothing man-made can ever take God's place. I don't care what people come up with inventions of this, that, or the other. It'll never take God's place. Whatever mankind invents, it'll eventually age and die and rust and rot and be worth nothing. So that's the foolishness of idolatry. And so God does not have to be set up or prompted by anything. Amen. If you want to be political, God doesn't have to have a teleprompter. Whatever man creates, makes, draws, sculptures cannot respond in time of need. Yet God can respond and does respond. This great Creator came to us. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the world? It is He, God, who sits upon the circle of the earth. You know, Columbus didn't discover that the earth was round. God did. He didn't discover it. He made it round. Sits upon the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. That's how God views or expresses here in Scripture that God is so above and far beyond everything else, and God created all these things. It's like a tent to Him. Amen. But yet God cares about humanity. He doesn't lessen His care for you. And He says, lift up your eyes. Who has created all these things? I have a cousin named Max. And I remember when he was in sin, living in sin. And he was talking with some other guys that were living the same way he was. And they were saying, I just don't believe there's a God. And Max had been raised in church. He wasn't living for God at the time. He is now. And he pointed up to the heavens, the stars. Do you think all of this stuff just happened? Surely there has to be a God. How can you not say that there's not a God? My friend, nature itself declares there has to be God. Amen. I worked with a man one time. You probably wouldn't want to work with him. He is a journeyman electrician, and to be a journeyman electrician, you've got to know a lot of stuff. But we were talking about humanity one day, and he said, I think that man is just a smart monkey. That spooked me a little bit because we were in, you know, dealing with three-phase electricity. I mean, 277 lighting, 480 volts. I hope this smart monkey's smarter than any monkey I ever saw, you know, if he's going to deal with that kind of electricity. But I think mankind, God has given mankind the knowledge this stuff didn't just happen. There's a creator of heaven and of earth, spoke the world and universes into existence. Amen. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Creation itself speaks out that there is a God that's up there. There's a God that created all things in heaven and earth, and this God came down to you and I because He loves us. Hallelujah. Verse 29, here it says, He gives power to the weak. Man, and those who have no might, He increases strength. Have you ever run up against something you needed that was stronger than you are? You may have run up against people that are stronger than you are. And you might have run up against things that take something bigger than you. You may have a marriage problem that takes something bigger than you. I want to tell you, God is bigger. You may have a relationship that you need God's help. I'm going to say God's bigger than that relationship. God's big enough to help you where you're at. And people today are weighed down by sins, things they cannot get rid of themselves. Let me tell you something, friend. People have been set free from drugs, from alcohol, from illicit sex, all kinds of stuff that the world could never find a solution for. They've sent to psychiatrists and psychologists to try to work it out in behavioral sciences, and they may have some answers, but I want to tell you the real answer is God. And God can do anything. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did for Israel and what He did when He created this earth, He can still do today. He hasn't lost any of His power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So He gives power to the weak. That includes all of us. We're unable to deliver ourselves from sin, its guilt, and its shame, and its power, and its offense. It's a heavy burden. But God did that for us. Jesus bore, carried all of this for us on the cross. He bore our sins. He bore our shame. He bore our disappointments. He bore the curse of sin. He bore everything that sin can do to a person and is able to redeem and save anyone, regardless of how deep in sin they may have gone. But our part is in verse 31, is to wait upon the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, because we need God's strength and God's help always. Amen. I can't do this by myself. My friend, if you're a Christian, you don't have to do it by yourself. God's bigger, God's greater, He's stronger. Amen. Those who wait upon the Lord, our part is to wait upon the Lord. A lot of times we say, God, I want patience, but I want it right now. But we need to wait upon the Lord. Amen. That means spend time with God. Because you see what you can't face within yourself, God is able to help you face what you can't face in yourself. You say, well, I can't do this by myself. Amen. When you begin to pray and to seek the face of God, you begin to desire what God desires for your life. You begin to see things from God's point of view instead of your own carnal point of view. And God gives you the strength to walk through it and to help you. Amen. There's been people go through things, and I've seen people suffer and die from things that, God, I hope I don't die that way, or I hope this didn't happen to me. But I want to tell you something. God, whatever it is and whatever it takes, God will help you. God will walk you through. God has not forsaken you. He said, I will go with you always and be with you always, even to the end of the age. Glory to God. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Praise God. We need to learn to wait upon God for His wisdom in decisions. We need to wait upon the Holy Spirit to give direction and power to live in the Christian life. You see, the great thing I believe we're missing in the church world today is being filled and overflowed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He's not just something you get. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, God gives you direction. God gives you power to live this Christian life. God gives you power to overcome the difficulties. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I've studied eagles a little bit. I studied enough. I don't ever want to make one mad. Eagles, natural eagles span, golden eagles, the biggest eagle, except for one more. But their wingspan is about 6 foot. And they got powerful wings. And a bigger eagle, the biggest eagle, is called a harpy eagle. And they're able to pick up a small monkey. If you believe that man's a smart monkey, he might pick you up. And to carry it off and to eat it. And the talons, the grip of talons of an eagle are 10 times the strength of a human grip. And so it's compared here, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Another thing about eagles, when they face a storm coming, they don't run from the storm. They simply spread their great wings. And as a current of air comes toward them, they sit there and the wind lifts them up to, after a while, they're soaring above the storm. And God is able to do that with us. They that wait upon the Lord shall soar on wings as eagles, another translation says. And so God is able to carry us above. That doesn't mean that God won't ever let you go through things, but it means that God is stronger even than the eagle. And as we wait upon the Lord, His grip is stronger than any human grip or any grip of sin. Amen. Any grip of fear, any grip of discouragement that may be clamped onto your life today, I want to tell you that God is stronger. Amen. You need to let Him carry you at times. And we can soar above the storms. Even sometimes eagles sometimes carry their young on their back or on their wing to teach them to fly. And this is compared in when Israel was taken out of Egypt. Exodus 19:4, God says to him, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. There's some times when we need to be carried. You say, well, that's for babies. I've met 50-year-olds that need to be carried. And you have too at times. We need God to help us to carry us. That doesn't mean we become a pity party and feel sorry for ourselves all times, hoping somebody will take up for us. Let me tell you something. There's no greater than God to take up for you and to care for you. He will help you. He will walk you through. Amen. Whatever you face, amen. This God, great God, came down to you because He loves you. He came down to us, my friend. He's never left us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to be absent one day. This great God that we serve is present, powerful. He's always on time, never late. Amen. He's always where He needs to be, and He cares for you. And He cares enough to try to save whosoever will, or will save whosoever will come to Him. Amen. So you're not alone. This great God came down to us, and He's here today. We prayed over a request just a little bit earlier. And I want you to know that the God that we called upon is present here. And we called upon Him, and we pray. Man, and I don't pray in church just because it's something religious to do. Amen. But I believe this God is real. I don't just believe it. I know He's real. He's revealed Himself so many times to me, He has to you. Amen. Showed Himself powerful and mighty and greater than whatever you'll become. Let me tell you something, friend. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. He's greater than whatever you face, whatever you're going to face. Amen. When you get there, He'll already be there because He's everywhere. Omnipresent. I don't know how, but He is. He said, the Word says He is. Praise the Lord. So this God, great God came to us. Amen.